Ein says to go big. See, there are two glasses of water. Yeah, I see. I'll probably use both. Okay. It is so good to be here. There was a word that was conceived in my heart over December. And we were in the Cape, and you know, sometimes when we are on holiday, then Anton will take the kids to the sea. And it's a privilege to go on holiday, by the way. Many people can't do that. And I can just have an hour to just have some peace and quiet, and no babies crying or children hanging on my legs or demands or anything. And this particular day, I was just there at the house where we were staying with Anton's mom, and everybody was gone, just me. And I was actually planned on sleeping. But then I had this desire, like the Holy Spirit comes and He just gives us a desire to do something. I just had this desire to seek God. And it was towards the end of December. And as I trust most of us do at the end of the year, we are seeking God for the next year. And I was just saying, God, is there anything that you can want to share with me or show me or reveal to me about 2011? What do you want? What can I do in 2011? What are your plans and purposes? And just right there, I had an amazing encounter with God. You know, sometimes we live a life where God speaks to us continually. I trust most of us will experience that or do experience that. But sometimes God speaks very, very clearly, like almost audibly. Like you could actually be there in the room. It's very, very real. And it was very real the way God spoke to me. And I felt that the Spirit of God said to me, that God wants to speak to me not only about 2011, but about the future, just my future until I die. I felt that the Spirit of God said to me, ask what do you want from me? And it was a very powerful experience because I knew that asking is a very great part of our relationship with God. Go to the Word of God and you'll see how many times just the subject of asking God will be there. So this word was conceived. And I'll share more with you as I go along. But then I just knew eventually that God actually has a word here. And I believe it was a word for the Shofar churches in the region. So I brought the word in Joburg and in Standerton, and now I'm bringing the word here. And, you know, it was like it was conceived, but when I had to bring it, especially in Joburg, because it was the first time, it was really like giving birth. And I really just had such a sense of God wanting to birth something in our hearts. And just bringing that word was like, you know, I know what giving birth is like. I did it a couple of times. And, you know, it's like really just birthing something that God wants to do. And I'm trusting God this morning for that same thing. And as we were worshiping, I don't know if you experienced it, but there was such a presence of God. And I had that same, like, God is here. And right now, I actually have to get over myself. And you have to get over yourselves. Because it is actually not about us. God has purposes and plans. And the best we can do is just take a step back and let Him do it through us. You know, we are so fixed on what do I look like? What am I wearing? What is my hair looking like? How much money do I have? What am I driving? And then we still want God to do great things for us and through us, especially through us. But we don't realize how much time we are spending on ourselves. And God is saying, just get over yourself. You know, just focus on me. And see what I can do through you if you are out of the way. And that is what I'm trusting God for this morning. I want to read from 2 Chronicles 1, verse 7 to 12. God came to Solomon. And I believe God came to me in the same way. You know, we think that it was more powerful in the Word of God. We always think that when God spoke to Moses, or when God spoke to Solomon, or when God spoke to Paul, it was so awesome, but now God speaks to me, and it's the same God. And people were then called by God. We are called by God. There's actually no difference. You know, it's just a couple of thousand years later. That's all. So I actually really believe that God came to me more or less in the same way that he came to Solomon. Now let's read it quickly. God said, it says there, on that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, of whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have ever had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. So, in other words, there never was there again a rich man and a wealthy man like Solomon. But God comes to Solomon and he says to him, I want you to ask me, what do you want from me? And Solomon is asking God for wisdom to be able to be a good king. Now, what was the calling on Solomon's life? The calling on Solomon's life was to be king over God's people. And the thing that Solomon asked was exactly according to the vision that God had and the purpose and the calling that God had for his life. And because he asked that and did not ask for money or this or that or the other, God said, you know, the word says, seek the kingdom of God first and all these things will come to you. God said, because you asked this thing of me, I'm going to bless you in any way. I'm going to give you more than you ever asked for or dreamt of. I'm going to give you everything that you can ever imagine, because what you asked from me is my heart and my purposes and my desires. Now, when God came to me in December and God said to me, ask, Christelle, what do you want from me? I had a very, very strong sense of the presence of God, and I had a very strong knowledge that the Holy Spirit was going to lead me in what I am going to ask from God. And I knew that that was a significant hour in my life. And you know, I went and I sat in front of the computer and I started typing, as the Holy Spirit was leading me, what I am asking from God for 2011, but much more than that, for the vision of my life. And I'm not going to speak about me this morning. I'm going to speak about the purposes of God. I'm just illustrating to us. And as I sat there, I was typing. The things that I was putting there on paper was unbelievably, absolutely, almost not realistic. And I sat there and I said, God, how can you, you know, I was completely overwhelmed with the presence of God. And the things that I asked from God, and I felt God say to me, I felt God showed me so clearly, God said to me, if you come and ask me for things, I want you to ask boldly. Because I can do more than you can ever think of or imagine. Now, I'm going to put all of this in perspective as I speak, but I want to share with you that Anton and I got married 11 years ago on Millennium Day, on the 1st of January 2000. And, you know, that was obviously your wedding day, is a day that you will always, I assume, hopefully remember and cherish in your heart. But, you know, when we prepared for this wedding, we were very aware of God. And we were picking the songs for the wedding, and the one song that we picked was that, to most of you it will be, you might not even know the song, it's an oldish song that says, "Ask of me," that scripture. Let me quickly read it. Psalm 2 verse 8. "Ask of me and I will give the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." And that song says, "You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need." I don't know if some of you remember that song. And we were singing that song. There was such an anointing on that song that morning and that wedding when we were asking God for the nations. And you know, when I think back of my wedding day, and so Fred, that those were in the days when Pastor Fred May conducted all the weddings, and Fred or William, one of the two. But so we, after Fred conducted the wedding, and everything was finished, and we were on our way to sign the register, Fred said the following words to us. He said to me and Anton, "Go and change the world." And you know, when I think back of my wedding day, and I'm very honest this morning, I don't think about my dress, I don't think about my hair, I don't think about how great it felt to be the object of everybody's attention. Those things are, to be honest, today, completely irrelevant to me. But I think about the fact that on that day, two people with two destinies and two callings on their lives came together. And two destinies became one. Sorry, but, you know, and that God has a very unique plan and purpose for two people coming together and two great destinies become one. And that is the same for every one of us who is sitting here. God says, "I have a seed that I want to plant in you." And many of us, on the day that we became born again, or in the weeks after that, or in the years that we were walking with God, we had words from God, we had prophecies, we had things that God glimpses, that God showed to us about the destiny that He has for us. And I firmly believe that each one of us comes into this world with a specific destiny. Now, we had a leaders' meeting in Standerton a couple of weeks ago. And you know, instead of discussing lots of things, Anton said, "Let us just share what is on our hearts." And one of the ladies in our meeting, who is an incredible, strong lady, and I've never seen such commitment to God, really, that she has. And she was starting to share with us, and suddenly she just started crying. She was just breaking down. She was actually sobbing. And she said to us, "I am so desperate to walk into that thing that God has called me for. I am so hungry to come to that place where I know that I am doing exactly what God has called me to do." You know, there was such a cry from her heart that she said, "And sometimes I think, what if I missed? What if I missed it? What if I made too many mistakes along the way? What if I gave it up for other things?" And she said, "Maybe it is too late. What if it is too late?" Now, the word that I'm bringing this morning is a intense, deep word. And I'm trusting God that He will reveal this in our hearts. Because I believe when God says, "Ask of me and I will give the nations to you," I believe that there is a pressing in, there is a seeking, there is a hunger for God. And I believe that God is waiting for us. We are never waiting on God. God is always waiting on us. I believe that God is waiting for us to cry out like that lady in our meeting was crying out, "Oh God, oh Lord Jesus, how, when, where, to press in, to ask God for the nations. You know, I have such a revelation of the fact that, yes, some of us are married, some of us are not. We have a job, and I'll probably get back to that a little bit later. We have a spouse. Some of us, we have children. We have all these things, and that is good, and that is great, and that is what God gave us. Family is a gift. Marriage is an awesome gift if you do it right. But there are nations, and there are generations. And God says in His Word, ask of me, and I will give you the nations. I'm not talking about cars. I'm not talking about the double-story house. I'm not talking about the job that will give you such a great salary increase. Those things do not have eternal value. Those things are needed, necessary, not important, not worthy of our time, not worthy of our thoughts, not important. God says, I want to give you stuff that is so much bigger, so much greater, so much more than you can ever think of or conceive of or imagine. I want to give you the nations. That is why I believe that God wants to fill these chairs. You know, I feel so extremely privileged to be a part of this church. Because the vision for my life is to reach nations and generations. Now, my children will grow up. I spend a lot of time with them. I invest in them every single day. They, my husband and my children, they are my first priority. But I'm telling you this morning, there are nations and there are generations, and I will not die. God forbid I die, and I have not served with my life the nations and the generations. You know, I once read a testimony that Joyce Meyer gave, and she said that when she was a young Christian, just born again, still did not look like a Christian, you know, and still wearing clothes that were a bit revealing and smoking a little bit here and there, but she became born again. And God showed her that He was going to use her to minister to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And she shared that with people, which is a bit like Joseph sharing with his brothers that they are going to bow before him, you know, maybe a bit prematurely, not things that we should actually really share with anybody unless God really shows us. But she shared that with people. And people said to her, who do you think you are that thousands of people will listen to you? Who do you think you are? And something that I've realized when I had this revelation in December 2010 was that God said to me, I want you to ask me. And I want you to ask me boldly. I want you to ask me for thousands and thousands and thousands of people to come into my kingdom. And let nobody dare to tell you who do you think you are that God will use you. Because it is not us. That is why God could use, or just go to the Word of God and see the people that God used. You know, they were not necessarily great people. And Jabez comes to God and Jabez says, God bless me. And then he says, extend my territory. You know, Pastor Fred said in December at the Pastor Summit, he said to us, you cannot actually be a light on a hill if you are not known by people. If your testimony is not known by people, and I have an unction in my spirit since the beginning of 2011, constantly, every day, I have an unction in my spirit, and I keep on saying, God, will you bless me? God, will you bless me? God, will you extend my territory? God, will you use me to influence thousands and thousands of people? Because it is not actually about me. And I believe with all of my heart, and that is why I am so in intense this morning. This is giving birth, bringing this word, because I believe that God is calling us as a church group and the Church of Jesus Christ generally, but I felt that this word was for us as a church group to come out boldly and to ask of God for the nations. And it is not a airy fairy pie in the sky. Ooh, the nations. It starts with tomorrow at work, the person that sits next to you. It starts with whatever God is calling us to do on a daily basis, but it doesn't matter how small the little thing is that I do today. My faith is up there. It is not just me. We are a whole church. God is calling us to the nations and to the generations. That is why, if I can be bold enough to say this, do not be in this church if you are concerned about cars and houses and clothes. Yes, those things are fine. It's fine to dress up. It's good. It's good that God blesses us with finances because we can use it. But our focus, church, and the cry of our heart and our purpose and our vision is not with things that do not have eternal value. It is there. You know what I said to the Joburg church when I was there, that sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like I cannot face the day. I was up all night with the children. I have an incredible amount of things that I must do in one day. I'm sure many of you will understand. There's pressure at work. There's family challenges. I don't know about other people. Actually, I should ask people and because I don't actually know. But the thing that keeps me going, if I can be honest this morning, the thing that keeps me going day to day, is that vision that God gave me. That is the thing that keeps me going. And then the Word of God says, David died having served his generation well. The Word of God says, David died having done everything that God has called him to do. Now, did you know that David had so much blood on his hands, he was not allowed to build God a temple? David committed adultery. David had many regrets and sins in his life. This morning we were singing that Hurricane song. Man, there's such an anointing on that song. And I'll refer back to it. But there we were singing, every regret is just when we see the love of God. I am determined to die having served my generation well. And this is the way that we should all be trusting God. That vision is the thing that keeps me going. You know, Anton and I, in the 11 years that we've been married, we faced many obstacles. We had many difficult times. We were eating salt together, lots of it. But you know what? There is a vision. We don't look here, we don't see the 5 children crying and nappies and the lack of finances sometimes and the car that is breaking and all the problems and this and that. We don't look to that. We see that, yes, but you know where our eyes are? There. Our eyes are there on that vision and that purpose that is going to come to fulfillment before we die. And that is the purpose of our lives. That is why when we have a problem in our marriage, we work it out. Because there is a purpose and there is a vision. And I believe, church, that God wants to come this morning. And if there is that seed of destiny, He wants to revive it. He wants to remind us, keep that thing alive. And if we don't have that seed yet, He wants to reveal to us what that thing is that we are living for. We live for that thing that God has called us to do. Whatever it may be in the body of Christ, whether it is to serve, to teach, to raise children that are going to change thousands of lives, to raise finances for the kingdom of God, to be a compassionate person, to reach out to the poor, which is the most godly thing that we can do. Whatever it may be, to live for that thing that God has called us to. And one day we will stand before God and He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I cannot wait for that day. I live for the day. I live for the day to stand before the Creator of the universe that says to me, well done, good and faithful daughter. You have done well. I want to speak about asking God this morning. That was the introduction. There's a clock there. Do you know that? Heinrich, well, how long do I have? He also preaches. He preaches very long, hey? So, I want to read to you from Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 21. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'm so excited and I've got so much to say. Now the Word of God says, being rooted and grounded in love. When I saw that we are singing the Hurricane song this morning, I was rejoicing in my heart because God was just confirming the word that I have, because I'm referring to the song whenever I speak about the love of God. The Word of God says, the width, the height, the length. You know, it's almost as if it is children's church. And it's almost as if God says, I so want you to understand my love, I'm going to explain it to you like we would explain it to a three-year-old. How wide, how high, how deep is the love of Christ? I want to share with you what happened to me when I was a student. I became born again. It was a radical experience. My life changed. My friends changed. My habits changed. And then I backslid. And I was extremely depressed because I backslid. And I was very broken. And things happened. And I was devastated. And I felt extremely condemned. And I went to God. Now, who of you, when you became born again, had that being insanely in love with God experience? That, like, okay, most of us. Now, when we become born again, I love a new Christian. I love new, fresh Christians because they evangelize. You know, they can't stop speaking about God. And I was like that. And that was like the most powerful experience of my life. I evangelized even the tables and the chairs, because if there was no people, then I had to speak to something about God. And then I backslid and I was condemned, and the whole story that I told now. And then I went to God, but I was very, very condemned. I felt extremely guilty. I felt defiled. And I went to God just expecting Him to maybe forgive me. And I was thinking maybe God would take me back. And I was very, like, you know, tail between the legs. I went to God and I put up some worship music. And all I just said, God, can you, like, take me back? Because I'm wretched. And I just started worshiping with the CD. And God spoke to me like He's never spoken to me before. And I've never had, after that time, such a powerful experience of the voice of God. And I believe that that was like supposed to carry me for the rest of my life, actually. God said this to me, I love you. And I understood with my heart, I understood that God loves me. I understood that the one who made the universe, the Mount Everest, the Victoria Falls, Earth is so small. If you look at the universe, you can't even see it. If you have like a map thing, you can't even see it. It's such a small planet. That God said to me that He loves me. And I understood the love of Christ. And I know from experience, and I'm sure that most of you will relate to this, the moment that we are out of that revelation of the love of God, we simply become religious. And religion is from the pit of hell. Religion is slave driving. Religion is working, 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 working. Having a little bit of a sense of feeling good because we work, and then it's over. And the Word of God says, your works to me are like filthy rags. You know what filthy rags are in the Bible? It refers to menstrual cloth. That is what our works are to God. God wants us. God wants our love. And more than that, He wants us to understand His love, because we can't even love. But once we understand the love of God, we are able to respond to it. And when we respond to the love of God, we open our hearts. And it is so amazing. It's a whole sermon on its own. Because God speaks about His love to us. And then He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, it's not something that we can ever work out in our heads. Never. It's a heart thing. It's completely and absolutely a heart thing. And then God says, when and if you understand this, listen to this. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask, according to the power that works in us. I'm telling us, church, this morning, if we have a revelation of the love of Christ, we create room for the Holy Spirit to do more than we can ever even imagine. And that is why I am so grateful that we sang that song this morning, because this morning we were not singing, oh, how we love you, God. We were singing, oh, how he loves us, because that is the focus, that is the central point, that is the whole thing, that is the whole deal, that is the gospel. How God loves us. And how Jesus died. Every word that came this morning from you guys was confirming the word that I'm bringing this morning. And God says, once you understand that love, come and ask me for the nations. There's nothing more exciting than living for something that is so huge, you can't even, you can't even tell people. If I tell my family my dreams that I have for our lives and for our church, they will say, ah, get real. See, but that's the thing with God. We can't limit God. Then secondly, when we ask God, listen to this, James 4, verse 3 to 5, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Do you know, we had yesterday, all the shofar pastors here, we had a little seminar with Pastor Chris and Brenda Fenter. And Pastor Brenda Fenter said something extremely powerful. She said, the way that we are before God, when we are alone, when it is just us with our families, that is living the gospel. Not when we pray, not when we read the word, not when we stand in church, oh, how wonderful you are, all I need is you, God, I will go to Japan, I will go to China. How are we with our husbands and our children? How are we when we are alone? How are we when nobody sees us? How are we living? Because I believe with all of my heart, holiness, living a life of holiness will release the power of God. Now, I am not giving any answers here because I don't have all the answers. But sometimes I wonder, why don't we see people get healed? Why don't we see people get delivered? Well, I want to ask us a question this morning. I want to ask, if we spend, going to challenge some of us now, if we have a need to spend half an hour or an hour or 2 hours every single day watching a soapy, watching a bunch of people cheating in their marriages, neglecting their children, backstabbing each other, gossiping about each other, the husband and the wife are together, and then the wife marries the, and then the wife gets together somewhere with another woman because she turned homosexual. If we have a need, I'm not going to mention any names of any soapies because I did previously, now I'm scared that maybe I'll get into trouble. But just think about them, they're all over. If we have a need, even the Afrikaans ones, the innocent ones, if we have a need to indulge in that every single day, if we have a need to watch with our eyes ungodliness and sin every day, if we have a need to see all these things, to read magazines with half-naked women in it, how can God trust us with His precious purposes? If we as families, if we spend every evening in front of the TV, eating our food, watching TV, okay, good night, I'm going to bed, how can we expect God to trust us with the purposes and the precious things that He called us as a family to? There is a call to holiness in the church. It is all over the place. God is saying, can my people stop being friends with the world? Because if you are a friend of the world, you cannot think that you can ask me for the nations. I'm not even going to reveal anything precious to you. Yes, I will love you. I will not condemn you. I will forgive you. But do not think that I can trust you with the nations if you have a need to be a friend with the world. Now, I am launching a campaign against the things that we watch on television because I firmly believe it is stealing from us all the time. You know, we watch comedies with homosexual people in them and we laugh. Ha, 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 ha. God says, I hate that. And our friends in the world who do not know God yet, who is actually on their way to burn forever and ever and ever, who desperately needs us to bring them in to life and to eternal life, they see us do this. And they go, oh, you're not very different from me. I mean, so you go to church on a Sunday and I sleep late. And God is calling us to holiness. God says, you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong things. God says, I want to give you my precious, precious promises. And then He says, I'm jumping ahead of myself a bit. I'm not going to read all of it, but in John 15, verse 16, God says, and I want you to bear fruit that remains. And when I see that fruit in your life, and I see, man, you are still bearing fruit. You are going through a tough time. You are being rejected. You lost your job. You are the victim of some or other something. But you are still bearing fruit. You doubt me. Things go wrong. But you are still bearing fruit. Man, I can trust you with the nations because you proved yourself trustworthy. It's got nothing to do with love. Now, I love my children. I absolutely, the way I love them is, I cannot describe it. Every mother here will agree with me. It is insane the way we love our children. It is a different level of love altogether. But I don't trust them. You know, little Alicia, she's 4 years now. She's got a thing for a Coke, especially a permanent marker. Now, Alicia has been drawing on all our carpets, all our walls, and the ultimate was when we visited my parents, who are very serious about their lounge suite, and she made like a lovely little snail, I think it was, or a little snake or something, but like something that was very, like, long on like the main couch. And I saw that, and I started hyperventilating, like, oh, what are we going to do? I can't believe this happened. And then I fell on my knees in the bathroom, and I said, God, please, how do we get this out of the couch? And my parents were like, whoo, very upset. And then my dad came, got like this bottle of stuff that belonged to my grand that was like, that's like 50 years old. Some other miracle, you know, get every, you can clean anything with it. And he was cleaning this couch, and every little black marker thing came out of that couch. And I was like, God, you are faithful. God, you can do anything. So now Lisha has a thing for this black marker. And as long as she has it, and she still has it after 2 years, I cannot trust her with a Cokey. But I love her. But I cannot trust her. Because she does not bear fruit that remains. She does bear fruit. I give her the Cokey and I say, Lisha, now you sit here at the table with this piece of paper and you only draw on the paper. And then she does, and then she's bearing that fruit, you know. And then I'm thinking, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then the next day I do the same. And then off the paper, on the table, on the wall, literally. You know, she's not remaining. That fruit is not remaining. I will not trust her with a Cokey. But I promise you, the day that I can trust Lisha with a Cokey, man, I will buy her every color that she wants, every shape that she wants. I will send her to art classes. She can become an artist. I will do anything that she wants if I can trust her with the Cokey. But I love her. So God is saying, please, my children, if I can just trust you. Because if I can trust you, you have no idea. You have no idea. No eye has seen, no mind has conceived, no ear has heard what God has planned. If we can just live in holiness. And if we want to sit here on a Sunday morning, and if we are desiring the nations to come here, we must go and live the life out there. So what did we do this weekend? How much time did we spend with God? Or how much time did we spend with our magazines and our precious TV programs? And our precious friends who we've been friends with for the past 10 years, nobody knew in our friendship, nobody that we're reaching out to, nobody that we're saying, man, you have to come to church. You have to know this God that I'm serving. You have to know Him. You have no idea what you are missing out on. I believe that when we come to that place as a church of holiness before God, of spending our time the way that God is calling us to spend our time, of getting our priorities right, of getting our thinking right, we have no idea what is coming for us as a church and every other church in this country that will do the same. Because we are not the only church that is called by God. We have no... I'm so excited about... Now I want to take this thing and just hug it. I'm so excited that this vision is my life vision. It is the vision for our lives. It is the vision for our children. That is the vision. It is not about the vision. It is about the God that gave us the mandate. That is why we make it pretty. That is why we make it as pretty as we can. And we put it up everywhere because it is the God that gave us the mandate. And then, what does God say? If we come to ask Him, listen to this. And I want to thank Donnie. Where's Donnie? Probably with the children. All the men are outside with the children. I'm so impressed with this church. Donnie was reading that powerful scripture about the poor. Listen to this. But whoever, 1 John 3 verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another. As he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. Now he who abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit whom he has given us. You know, when a brother or a sister that is hungry is in the church, And I phone that brother or sister and I say, man, I know you are hungry and I am praying for you. Why does it help me when I am hungry? Zilch. Because I actually need food. Now that prayer could be powerful, but God says, if you want to love each other, man, you must get practical. God says, if you keep my commandments, and those commandments are to believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and to love one another, then you can ask of me and I will give you whatever you are asking of me. The word says, whoever has this world's goods. Now, I want to say this morning, it is very relevant. Wealth is very relevant. You know, to some of us, to not have a car, we think we are poor. But we eat every day. We have a roof over our heads. Did you know that there's a very small percentage of people in the world that can eat every day and that has a roof over their heads and that has a vehicle to drive with? Very small percentage. We are, every one of us that are sitting here, everyone, I look at you, I see you, I see what you look like. Every one of us are counting amongst the richest people, the wealthiest people in the world. The Word of God says, whoever has this world's goods and shuts his heart up to those who are in need, do not think that you can ask of me. I cannot give you anything. How can God trust us with His precious purpose and promises if our hearts are closed? The Word of God says, give. Become a giver. Give. Love is giving. Love is not as much saying I love you. You know, we can tell somebody I love you. That's good and fine and necessary. Very necessary. Especially if we have children. But I can tell my children a million times a day I love them. If I don't show that love, if I don't make them their sandwiches to school, if I don't hug them when they fall and hurt themselves, if I don't see that they get some vitamins and minerals, if I don't care for them, if I don't show it, it means absolutely nothing. So God says, don't tell me you love me if you can't love your brother and sister. I don't register that as love. That is not the way it works. And I believe, again, as a church, God will bless us more than we can think of or imagine. God will release finances, not just to the church, but to us personally. He will open the floodgates of heaven and money. One of the leaders in our church saw a vision of the floodgates of heaven opening over Shofar. And money, millions and millions of dollars flowing in to the church and to the families in the church. Because God can bless us when we open our hearts to those who are in need. Let us never become families or individuals or churches who are shutting our hearts to the need and the cry out there. So my challenge this morning is, where are you involved? Where are you giving to the poor? And to me, and to me. What are you doing? Where are you involved? What are you going to do this winter about all the thousands of people that are called every single night? All the children, what are we going to do? What are we doing? What are we doing? Can God trust us with the nations or not? Because the nations are poor, and the nations are needy, and the nations are filthy and dirty and grinnerig. You know, I'm almost finished. David's mighty men were a bunch of hooligans. They were not worthy. They were not regarded. Those are the people that God is calling us to. Those are the people that God is calling us to. God is not calling us to the rich. You know, sometimes I look at these churches and I see how much money went into their buildings and into their pulpits. And yes, God is beautiful. And yes, we need to reflect the glory of God. But I can't help thinking, you know, if your pulpit were just a little bit less gold and silver in it, you could actually use that money to feed a couple of hungry children. Let's get our priorities right. And then God says, if you ask of me, you need to keep my commandments. And the commandment that I have is that you have faith in me. And what is faith? Faith is nothing but trust. Now, I have faith in Heinrich and Nikki. I've known them for many years. I can tell them anything. I can tell them anything. They won't tell anybody. I can discuss anything with them. I can be myself. I can make mistakes. I can be whatever I am. I trust them. I can ask them. I can ask them. I can tell them, meet me there at that time. And I trust them to be there. I trust them with things like little admin things. And I trust them with big, huge heart things. I trust them. God says, if you need to come to the place where you trust me. And the harder we try to figure it out with our heads, the less we will be able to trust God. The more we realize God is too big. Too big, too big. Too big for us to figure out. Just God is just saying, man, if you would only trust me. And when we trust God, He can trust us with His precious purposes and His precious promises. And I believe that God is moving forward. Time is running out. Jesus must come back. The world is aching and suffering. Don't get left behind. Don't stay back. Don't let God raise somebody else up to do your job. Reinhard Bonnke says he was God's third choice. God asked Reinhard to do something. He said, God, that's too big for me. I cannot do it. God said, well, you are the third person that I am asking. You are the third person that I am asking to evangelize the world. He's got more than a million people in one meeting. Can you hear that? More than a million people in one meeting. It is a sea of people. It's like a mighty roar when those people start praying in tongues. God said, you are my third choice. Don't let us lose that precious thing that God has called us to. Let's quickly stand. I have great faith this morning that God will come and do one of two things. Reveal to us what that seed of destiny is in our gut. It's there, it sits there, it's in our gut. Or if it's already there, that He will stir it up again. That we will change our focus, that our vision will be exactly like Solomon, that our vision will be where our calling is. If I may ask this morning, who of us here understand that seed of destiny? Who of you know that God, what God has called you to? I'm not speaking about specifics. There's hardly ever specifics. It is just like a deep knowledge that God has called me for something. Who of us know? Okay, about half of us. You can put your hands down. It's not spooky, airy, fairy this morning. I'm trusting God for those of us who will follow the conditions. The conditions. I just spent the whole sermon on the conditions. We follow the conditions. We understand the love of God. We live holy lives. I believe that God will be faithful to reveal to us that seed of destiny. It is a seed. For some of us, it's raising children that are going to change the world. For some of us, it's raising finances. For some of us, it's intercession. Nobody might ever even know how much you are praying things into being. There were two old ladies in Ireland who prayed for years on end. They were too weak to do anything else. They were praying. And one night as they're praying, that whole building started shaking. And the whole town went to that building to ask, who is this God that you serve? For some of us, it is intercession. For some of us, it is a compassion, mercy ministry to the poor. For some of us, it is preaching and teaching. It's different for all of us. But I believe that there is a seed planted in all of us. The day that we became born again, the day that we became born again, that seed was planted. I am trusting God this morning that God will reveal to you what that seed is that He planted. And it sits there in your gut. And I know that God will call His church to a place where we are desperately crying out to God. And as that lady in our meeting was crying that evening, I understand that, I relate to that, so does my husband, Anton. We understand and we have that unction and that deep, deep longing and being desperate for the purposes of God. Now Hannah came to the Lord, and the prophet, the priest Eli thought that she was drunk. She was kneeling before God, and she was desperate before God. She was desperate. She was so desperate that the priest thought that she was drunk. That's how silly she looked. That's how desperate she was. She was probably lying prostrate on her stomach before God, and she was saying, "Oh God, if you will only give me a child, if you will only give me a child, I will give that child back to you." And God gave her Samuel. So powerful was that request that we still know about Samuel thousands of years later, that came from a desperate cry of the heart. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring us to a place where we are desperate, crying out, "God, we have one desire and one desire only, to see your kingdom come. And I have one desire, God, to fulfill my purpose and my role in this big story that you are writing." Let's lift our hands to God. Father, this morning we come to you, Lord, and God, we are getting over ourselves, Lord. We are getting over our desires, our needs, our pleasures, Lord. And by the way, church, that is a joy. That is not a burden. That is liberating. There is nothing as liberating, ladies, as looking at yourself in the mirror and say, "So what? I've got a big bum." God has a plan for me. "So what? I don't have much money. So what? The world doesn't see that I have potential." God sees and God knows. And Father, this morning we come to you, God, and we praise you and we bless you and we thank you for the way that you have made us, for the things that you have given us. But God, this morning we want to say, God, we are getting over ourselves and we focus on you, God, because you can do anything through us, Lord, if we lay down those things that have no eternal value. Father, and this morning I want to ask those of us who raised our hands, those that said, "Yes, I know what that CD of destiny is. I know what it is." I want us to just stretch our arms out to those who do not know yet and ask God to reveal to them that seed of destiny. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Father, because you, God, you are the one and the only and the first and the last and the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, God. You can do anything, God. And we ask, will you, in the name of Jesus, reveal your precious purposes, your precious secrets, Lord? Will you plant, will you reveal that seed of destiny that you have planted in the gut of everyone that became born again, Lord Jesus? And Father God, we pray for those of us, God, for all of us actually, God, for all of us, Lord, that we will become aware more than ever of that calling, that we will become aware more than ever of that destiny, Lord. And Father, that will become our vision, that we will pursue that with all that is within us in the name of Jesus. And I want to ask this morning, if that is you, if you have that desire, if you have that ache in your heart for God to just come and fulfill that thing that is planted in you, just indicate, God, you see us this morning. If there is an unction in your heart to lay hands on those people next to you, please do so. I believe the Spirit of God is here. Please lay hands on those. If there is any desire for anybody to pray for other people, please do so. Let's release the purposes of God. You know, we have the power to release the purposes of God. We do have that power because of the blood of Jesus. God is using us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we lift you up. And we worship you, God. And we thank you, God, that we will look back upon this morning as a beacon, God, of something that you did, Lord, that changed our focus, that changed our hearts. Jesus' name.
We're almost done. And if you need to go, I encourage you to just quietly slip out. But I want to remind us also of the confirmation that Esther brought about the Holy Spirit being here this morning, just to really ignite our hearts. And that in that igniting, we have a choice in our response. Are we going to throw water upon it and say, it's just another word? It's an awesome word for the people next to me. Or, I wish so-and-so were here so they could hear the word. Are we going to say, Lord, I'm here. The Spirit is here. Your word was spoken. And I'm not going to walk out of here unchanged. We're going to worship the Lord with that song. But how He loves us. And we're just going to sing that. But there are specific people the Lord has spoken to you. And I need you to respond and just come forward. The Lord is all over you. He's been speaking to you. You feel it in your gut. You feel, even as the word of the song says, your heart is beating violently inside of your chest. And you have a choice right now whether you're going to, once again, just get religious with that feeling. Just an emotion. Is it just the vibe? No, it's not just an emotion. It's just the vibe. It's the Holy Spirit upon you. And what you do in this moment is crucial to your walk with the Lord. The Lord says He desires obedience and not sacrifice. Some of us would much rather do a lot of sacrificial things for God rather than be obedient when He speaks. And I'm so aware of this word the Lord has brought to us. We still didn't know about just where we're going and what's happening. She got this word at the beginning of the year. And the Lord is leading us as a congregation to make some changes, some radical shifts. And I just want to echo that. The reason for that is because God is moving us out of our comfort zone. He's moving us where we get back to the gospel again that says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and come after me. It is as simple as that. I believe this morning the Lord is holding me for us a choice. To settle for just being nice and just having a good life, or to go for gold. He's holding me for us, go, say, come. I'm inviting you to the Olympics with me. I'm inviting you to that spot where you run and there's a cloud of witnesses cheering you on. And the sense for some of us here, you're a bit like Samson. The Lord has called you. He has anointed you. But you're looking at people, what people have done, and what people have said, and what people are not doing, and the church this and the church that, and you are losing your calling. God has placed it upon your life, but you're wasting time. My heart for you is that you won't wait till one day to wake up. But you respond to the Lord's voice right now. We're going to sing that song, band. When Anton, Christelle, myself, we're going to be here. And we'd love to minister to you. We're going to take our time. We're going to pray with you. For the Lord to come and do in your life. And there's somebody in specific, I also sense, you would love to have church without this. Without that and without that. You're okay with church, but you don't like this vision thing. In actual fact, the whole vision of Shofar is beginning to just grate you. The Lord is saying He's putting His finger on that this morning because one stage you love the vision, your heart beat for the vision, you got hurt, you turned your back on it. You're going to be unhappy for as long as you despise what has been precious. The Lord is just calling you back. Just come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. Come and relax. Allow me to just be myself through you. So, Lord, we thank you for time well spent in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that as we're going to go into this day, Lord, and as we are going to enjoy time with family and friends, Lord, that your word will be with us. Thank you for encouraging us, God, to get very practical around what we know and that we can go and we can love people. But God, we come together this morning, Lord, and as a congregation, we say, Lord, that we receive your word with gladness this morning that you have given us, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come to lead us. Thank you that you want none of us to stay behind, Lord. And even as we go into a time and a season of change, Lord, we thank you just for your faithfulness, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that none of this is about us. It's about the people on your heart, and you have chosen us, Lord, to be your vehicles. Oh, Lord, we appreciate your presence. I think I can speak your peace over your people. You can bless them as they go to be a blessing. But Lord, here's our hearts. Come and do with us, God, what you want to do.